Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and I'm really, really excited about today's show. As any of you have been following my blog or Twitter feed knows, Kalamazoo's Boys 18s and 16s National Hardcourt Championships were going on all last week, and we were lucky enough to have a fellow tennis mom, Melanie Rubin, reporting live from Kalamazoo, doing interviews with various players and parents and coaches and tournament staff, and it was just a really, really fun week. I wasn't there, but I got to live vicariously through Melanie and all of the interviews she did. And so today we're going to do a wrap-up of Kalamazoo, and I'm just really excited about our guest list for today. We've got a young player, TJ Pura, who is actually headed off to Duke in, I think, a few days to go play his freshman year at Duke. His mom, Sarah Weinheimer, is joining us on the air. Of course, we have Melanie Rubin here too, mom to Noah Rubin. And we have two coaches with us. We have Greg Patton, who's the head coach at Boise State. And what's unique about Greg is his son actually plays for him on the team at Boise State. So, you know, we have a lot of good things to talk about with Greg. And then we also have Mark Dixon with us, who's the assistant coach at the University of Miami. Both Mark and Greg did interviews with Melanie on our blog, so if you haven't had a chance to listen to those yet, I hope you will go to parentingaces.com and look for our Reporting from Kalamazoo article and check out their interviews. They were really fantastic. So before I bring our guests on the air, I want to just play a quick commercial, pay our bills for this week, and then we'll be back live with our guests, TJ Pura, his mom, Sarah Weinheimer, Melanie Rubin, Greg Patton, and Mark Dixon. Back after this.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
Welcome back to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and we have a great show for you today, doing a wrap-up of the Kalamazoo Hardcourt Championships. We've got several guests with us, and for those of you listening, if you have questions or comments, if you were there and want to share your experience with us as well, our call-in number is 714-583-6853. Again, 714-583-6853. So again, our fabulous guest today, we've got TJ Pura, his mom, Sarah Weinheimer, we've got mom, Melanie Rubin, we've got Coach Greg Patton and Coach Mark Dixon all on the line with us today. I'm bringing you all back on gradually. Here we go. And is everybody there?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
I feel like I need to do roll call. I don't think I've ever had this many guests on at one time. It's going to be fun today. I'm going
to
start.
Well, that's basically because you asked me to do the show, and I was so nervous. I made sure I had some other wonderful people to help fill in everything so I wouldn't have to talk so much.
Melanie, you are doing a phenomenal job, and I want to say thank you to Melanie for all the hard work she did during the tournament, because she was there as a mom too, and was there watching her son Noah, who had a fabulous tournament. He got to the semis and just played his heart out and lost a really tough match in the semis. So congratulations to Noah on a great week, Melanie. But more importantly, congratulations to you for surviving your first week as a Parenting Aces reporter, and thank you for everything you did up there.
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity. I had such a blast. I love being at my son's tournaments. Well, when my daughter was playing, I love being watching Jesse play as well. Adore being a tennis parent. Having this added to it, being able to talk to people as a guest interviewer for Parenting Aces, talking to players, talking to parents and coaches, it was a whole new spin on it, and I really just had a blast doing it. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I'm putting you back to work in a couple weeks up in New York. We're going to definitely have fun. All right, TJ, I'm going to start with you since you're our lone player on the show today. I want to hear from you what it meant to get to play at Kalamazoo and how you take that experience and translate it into what's, I'm sure, going to be a fantastic college career at Duke.
Yeah, Kalamazoo was really an incredible experience this year. It was my fourth year playing. I've played since my first year of 16s, but this year is especially unique, not because of my results necessarily. I mean, I did well in singles. I lost in the round of 32 as an unseeded player, and then doubles lost in the second round, but it was really unique sort of just because the feeling I had on the court and the sense of enjoyment I got while I was playing, because it was my last Kalamazoo, and sort of the pressure that I took off myself to just focus as much as possible on enjoying every point and enjoying the moment of playing your last few junior matches, I feel like propelled me to play a level of tennis that I hadn't really found before. I really had a great time this year. I mean, for all the way from my first round match in the round of 256 all the way to the round of 32, I continually lost the first set of the match, but managed to figure out a way to win the second set, and that really, it sort of taught me a lot about myself, just in, you know, when you lose a first set, it's sort of like, I sort of gained a little bit of comfort from losing the first set, because I know that I had done it before, and, you know, if I just kept my game steady, let the other guys hit winners and make a lot of errors. So for me, it was just learning, you know, the type of things you can come back from, and, you know, even when you're in the worst possible position you could think of, you know, a couple of games away from losing, you just, you know, try to enjoy the point and have some fun with it. You'll be surprised by sometimes what happens. So for college, I'm just really going to be looking forward to having the opportunity to play on a team and having fun more than anything, because when you're relaxed and enjoying it, that's when you'll realize you're playing your best tennis.
That's fantastic. And Sarah, did you get to watch TJ play in Kalamazoo?
Yes, I did. I watched him play in Kalamazoo, and I actually observed the same thing. I think, you know, any tennis parent, and I've been one for 10 years with TJ's journey, is, you know, watches their, can see the pressure that their child puts on him or herself when they're competing. And, you know, so you see the kind of the gap sometimes between how well they can play and then when they get into these high-level tournaments. And I definitely saw how much TJ seemed to just be out there enjoying the sport. And I was really, really happy that the last tournament was, you know, kind of played on that note. I also had my mother with me who lives up in northern Michigan, and she was able to come down and watch him as well, which she's done and we've done in the last 4 years of Kalamazoo. So it was also a family time, and, you know, it was very special.
Is there anything, you know, kind of bittersweet about knowing that he's moving into that next phase now? And how are you going to handle the end of your tennis mommyhood?
Are you trying to make me cry?
Maybe.
I didn't hear the first part of the question. Is there anything, what did you say, sweet or bittersweet?
Bittersweet, yes.
Bittersweet, yes, of course. Absolutely, it's totally bittersweet. I'm trying to focus on the fact that I'm a rising college tennis parent rather than, you know, the end of the junior tennis phase, but it and just how amazingly rich my life has been because of the, you know, the experience of being a junior, you know, tennis parent, because you're forced to learn as much about yourself in this process, which is what makes it so rich, and share the, and, you know, and have the opportunity to share so many close moments with your child, as in my case, he was going through this very, you know, competitive, unique experience. And of course, we spent tons of time together in traveling to and from all the tournaments. And, you know, that just was a very incredible bonding experience that I feel, you know, very privileged to have been part of. And encourage, you know, I just think I look back, all the low moments, you know, have been wiped from memory. And you know, I just look back at all the you know, incredible time we shared together over this, and the growth that you can't help but observe. I mean, you know, when you see your child duking it out on Friday nights, Saturdays, Sundays, you know, throughout the weekends when, you know, the other kids are, the other peer and friends are doing other things, you know, you just can't help but admire the tenacity and you know, the qualities of character that are just kind of being formed throughout that process.
Look, I'd love to interject right now with Melanie talking, because I remember watching TJ back in the 12s when, you know, when he wiped the floor with Noah. And I just must say, from very early on, TJ was so mature and such a gentleman out there on the court. I mean, he was just a pleasure to watch, even as a little kid. And the fact it's continued that way, and to see him now, he's well-spoken, and he's just a terrific kid, and I, you know, it was just a pleasure to be there, you know, as he's finishing his junior career.
Well, Melanie, thank you very much for those kind words. I, you know, really appreciate it. Noah has also been an inspiration for TJ, so, you know, it's very mutual.
Thank you.
It's really sweet to hear. TJ, I want to ask you just quickly, what lessons are you going to take from your junior tennis career with you to Duke, and which lessons that specifically you've learned from your mom and your grandma, I guess, as she's watched you too, what are you going to take with you as you move forward from junior tennis into college tennis?
Honestly, more than even a lesson that I'm going to take with me is just the entire junior experience. And, like I think my mom said, I feel really lucky, not only obviously for the time that I was able to spend with her and the rest of my family through tennis, but more just the certain people that I met along the way, you know, coaches, a wealth of friends and parents, and, you know, just miscellaneous people that come along the path when you're playing tennis. And that's really what I'm going to miss the most about junior tennis, and what I feel the luckiest, for is the opportunity to have met all these incredible people and, you know, have the mutual experience of junior tennis and something to, you know, be able to connect with. And as far as college tennis, I mean, I feel like really one of the few things you learn in junior tennis is such a long journey is that you really have to trust yourself, and, you know, you need to have confidence in yourself more than anything, because You know, that's really what it comes down to when you're not playing well and things aren't looking good, is that you really have to look within yourself. So, yeah, I mean, just perseverance, but also enjoyment. And, you know, as much as you want college tennis to be all about winning and, you know, winning every single match you could play, that's not going to happen. So you got to try to enjoy, you know, the other things, perhaps meeting other coaches, enjoy being the opportunity of being coached on the court. What I hear most of all, and this is from all college tennis players, is that most of them enjoy the experience that they have with their teammates. And that's really what I'm looking forward to the most.
That's great. All right, so that's a really nice segue into asking you, Coach Patton, and you, Coach Dixon, about your experiences at Kalamazoo as college coaches, going to the tournament, knowing that, you know, you're there either to possibly find additional players for your team or to confirm choices you've already made. What are you looking for when you're at a tournament like this? And Coach Dixon will let you go first, and then Coach Patton will pull you on.
Well, first off, I'm always a tennis fan. I just go to enjoy the level of tennis. I think it's so much fun to see all the coaches and the parents and the players together. The level was very, very high this year. I think that every single time that you go to Kalamazoo or any tournament, there are always players that I find that I hadn't expected to know that would be out there that might be available to play college tennis. And, you know, I'm a parent as well. To me, it was really a lot of fun to meet Melanie. And, Sarah, I didn't have a chance to meet you, but I got to watch the terrific match that TJ had, a really great comeback, and the whole family being there. I just really feel that tennis is at its best, and I saw that a lot at Kalamazoo when families are there together, and the kids are under an awful lot of pressure, but when you see them enjoying themselves and you see them having fun off the court as well, to me it's very, very refreshing.
And Coach Patton, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, that's a well said, Mark. You know, it is like going to a music festival. It could be a rock festival, a folk festival, or classical music. You see all different types of this resonance that's coming from the energy that's going there. First of all, it's a community. And I think TJ hit it right in the butt. Is, you know, I think that what really that a lot of parents need to know is that it's all about these kids basically being with their peers who probably have the biggest influence on their lives at this time in their life, and having all these great, talented kids living their dream and all being able to share in this. And like I said, this is a festival, you know, and it's so much fun to watch it. So I like what Mark said about being a fan, because when I go there, you know, we're wearing a lot of different hats. And one of the hats is that I found that I've been going for over 36 years to Kalamazoo. And when you go there, you see all these incredible stories play out in front of your eyes. And there's drama, there's tragedy, and there's comedy, and there's romance, and there's all these things going on. And it's so much fun to just be there and to take it in. So the next thing, is obviously, as a coach, we're going there to, and as you said, in a lot of different areas as a college coach, is first of all is to be seen, is to let, you know, is to have the players see you and see your presence there. Now, and the second thing is for us to be able to see the players and see which one do we want to adopt and try to lure into our programs. Which is really a big deal, because what you're talking about, it's not only a four-year deal. It could be up to 5 years where they're with you in this program, living day in and day out, and really becoming a part of our campus community and our team, family, and the coaches, in a way, they're like your sons. So that's really important, is that you're there to have them see you and to have that connection. And, you know, we really can't talk to the players when we're there. So it's basically this whole idea, and you show your interest and the players by basically following them as they play. And in addition to that, you also are learning about players, which ones you really would want that could fit into your program, that could help your program flourish. But I think the ultimate thing, the underlying thing, the thing that really resonates and has radiance is just the fact that it's like going to a great movie and seeing great drama and seeing great stories. There's such great stories, and I think that's the fun part. I always love especially to go to Kalamazoo because it is probably, it's the Woodstock. It is the premier. It is the academy. It's like in the Hall of Fame for rock and roll type of thing as far as I'm concerned.
You know, it's interesting because having the opportunity to interview so many of the college coaches, there were definitely common threads throughout the interviews. And one of the things is just what you were talking about, Coach Patton, is that you're looking for more than just results. You're looking for a fit for your team. You're looking for somebody that you want to spend the next 4 years with. And that definitely came across when I was talking to the coaches, that it's more than just results. Of course they want players that have good results, but they also want to see how players handle themselves when they're down a set, like TJ was talking about, or when calls go against them, or when they come off the court and they're dealing with their parents or with their friends. Definitely common thread across all the coaches that I had interviewed. They're looking for the whole kid, the whole player, not just the player with great results.
One of the things that jumped out at me, Melanie, from your interviews with the coaches was how many of the coaches talked about how fun it was to be there with their fellow college coaches. And
they loved it.
Yeah, and to me, it just feeds, again, that whole sentiment of, you know, tennis is a sport for life. It's an activity for life. These guys grew up playing tennis. They're now working in the tennis field, and they can't wait to be around their peers. And I think Coach Patton and Coach Dixon both said that during their interviews with you for our website. So I loved that joy that you guys get out of seeing each other. And I'm sure there's still that competitive spirit that's very strong amongst. But, you know, it came through very strongly, your passion for the sport, your passion for the kids, and your passion for being amongst your peers in such an incredible environment that's Kalamazoo. And you know, as a parent, I loved hearing that. That gave me such a sense of comfort to know that, you know, when my son decides where he's going to play tennis or when the schools decide where he's going to play tennis, you know, I'm going to be looking, and I hope he'll be looking for a coach that shares sentiment with you guys, that love of the sport and that passion for it.
And it's fun. You know, even from college coaching, if you're recruiting somebody and you really hope that they go to your school, if they choose to go to a different school, you cheer for them when they go to these other schools. You follow their careers. You see the type of young men, young women that they become and the professions that they choose. A lot of players, they're so successful in tennis, but a lot of their successes come after tennis. And it's wonderful to be part of that process.
That's great to hear. Coach Patton, talk a little bit about what it was like when your son was going through the recruiting process, or did he? Did he know he was going to play for you and that was it?
It was an incredible journey. I a long time ago, and I think, and I don't know if TJ knows this, but and there's a common thread there in the sense that, and there's an empathy. I know that TJ lost his father at a young age. I lost my father when I was 17. And when I had my son, I realized that I wanted to romance my son and my daughter to the game of tennis because it had such a big impact on my life and such an empowering feeling that I would get because of tennis, but also became my safe haven. And in addition to being my safe haven, it also was my power base as a junior growing up. So when my son and my daughter started, you know, this incredible journey into tennis, I realized that when he was around 15, 16, I really felt that I wanted my relationship with my son to be one as a father and a son, and not really as a player and coach. And I had the opportunity, I worked with the national team, I was a college coach, had so many great coaches around me that could work with my son in tennis, that I realized that there was no one in the world that could be his father but me. And there's a lot of great people who could be his coach. So I kind of passed that on to him, which we had a deal where I really tried not to say much about tennis. And then what I found, which was so beautiful, is I loved watching him play, not about the wins and the losses, but it was like having someone you care about so deeply. It was like watching them sing, or it was like watching them act, or it was like watching them. I grew up loving to surf, and it was like watching when I saw my son playing tennis. It was like me being at the beach and watching someone ride a great wave, and obviously we're here. And I remember going skiing with my son, and there was that same feeling that went on. So the first thing is that was the magic of it. It's just watching them. Now, obviously, I think I really wanted my son to go to school with me, but he was being recruited, and I had done a lot of things in California. And so he basically grew up in the summers in California. I'm from Santa Barbara. I coached at UC Irvine, and I used to run a family tennis camp and also then high development, high performance camps for the USTA, mainly in California. So my son started going and looking that direction, UC Santa Barbara, UC Irvine, Cal Berkeley. So he's really looking at the UC system. And I remember one day I figured that he was talking about all these schools with such excitement. I was thinking, oh, my God, I would really like to have this kid play for me. So I brought him downstairs into my house one day, and I said, we had a room. We didn't really talk about tennis at the home, or unless he brought it up. And I said, listen, I really want to talk to you, and I'm putting on my coach's hat. And I just want you to know that I would love to have you play at Boise State. Now, he grew up watching Boise State, and I took him on trips with me when he was a little kid. And it was funny, a few weeks later, he comes down. So I just talked about all the things that what our school could provide in terms of scheduling. He knew my players and loved them. And so, but I still didn't think he was going to come. I think he kind of wanted to get away from Boise. He was born and raised here in Boise, Idaho, and get a little bit of a different feel. And I remember when he came down to my room and he said, to my office, which is downstairs in our home here, and he goes, Dad, I've made up my mind. I know where I'm going to go. And I said, well, I go, great. And he said, you know, I love the schedule. I love the players. I love the area. I think the school's got some things that academically could really apply to me. And it's all great. They have a good nationally ranked team where they can, you know, they could make history. And then he said, but, you know, I don't know about the coach that much. He's kind of dicey. And I kind of was wondering. I was going, well, heck, I knew the coaches at all the three schools that he really was coming down to the wire with. And I thought, that's strange because all three guys I knew personally, I knew them professionally, I knew they were all great in every sense of the word. And I go, well, where are you going to go? And he said, Boise State. And I started to laugh because I saw that dig that came right at me. But it's been an incredible journey. It's been really tough because I think you lean over backwards not to show any favoritism. So sometimes I think he gets the raw end of the deal just for the fact that he's the coach's son. But it's been magical.
That's awesome.
You know what's funny? I've talked to a lot of, and you know, we're on a little bit of a different subject here, but I've talked to a lot of coaches who have children, and I have college coaches that have sons, and I tell them, you know, if it works out, it is the most incredible feeling, and for me, it's been like I said, magical. It's been powerful. It has been joyous. And I try to encourage all of them to have the experience, and not very many men where college coaches have that opportunity. But I tell the guys on my team, too, which is really cool, it's given me, is the fact that, you know, I look at all those guys, and, you know, when Garrett first came on the team, I said, listen, guys, you're all my sons. and you guys are all brothers. And I treat each and every one of them like I treat, you know, and it, this father aspect is really added because I look at all these guys. They're more than just my players. They're part of my family.
Now, Coach Patton, I have a question for you. It sort of goes, I mean, first of all, it's an unbelievable story. But I was just, you know, you really stand out as a coach who does care so much about family and, you know, your relationship with players and not only your own players, but even, you know, other players that are either going to other schools or, you know, are getting recruited from other places. And I'm just curious, have you always sort of had that, or was there some kind of event or your own tennis experience that made you be that way? Or
That's so nice of you. I think the most important thing is, first of all, there's a community, and you alluded to it, TJ, and I think that's the reason you play. And I have a thing that I talk to players a lot, and I love coaching. And I ask players a lot why they play. And I find that a lot of kids used to say, and I did this when I was a college coach, you know, as the recruiting process is, why do you play? And I started doing it when I worked with the USGA as the Junior Davis coach in the 80s and then as a national coach in the in 98 through 2003. And I had several players, you know, they'd tell me that they played because it was a great way to get a scholarship. I heard players say, and I heard Sampras and Currier both say this, they wanted to be number one in the world and be the greatest at the sport. And I've heard some people say, well, their parents made them. And I've heard other kids say, well, it's a great way to meet girls. And then I had a guy at a national training camp a bunch of years ago said to me, he loved to play, and the reason he played was because he loved the feeling. And I went, Eureka, that was an epiphany to me. Because that's the reason, and I thought about it, I go, he loves to play. He loved the feeling. And I love the feeling of coaching. I love the feeling of this sense of camaraderie, this sense of belonging. And I love the kids. And I think I do, because even though they compete against me, is the greatest way that you learn is through your opponent. And really, there is no enemy. They're basically teammates. We're all in this in the same thing. We talked a little bit about how the coaches get along. I love going there because it's basically a week-long party for me to be with people that understand what I do and know what I do, and they know how I feel. And I think the players feel the same thing. Nobody understands a player greater than their peers. Not their coaches, not their parents, not, you know, the best friend that doesn't play tennis. The only one who really truly understands the heart and soul and essence of a player is a player. So I realized that for me, the reason I do what I do is I love the feeling. I love the feeling of competing. I love the feeling of belonging. I love the feeling of caring. So then I would ask players, and, you know, after it was at a national training camp, and I asked the players the next day, what's the greatest feeling? And the kids, everybody would come out, and a lot of them, I think, felt like the answer had to be that, and there is no right or wrong answer, but a lot of the kids said they thought the greatest feeling was to win. And I said something that I think kind of shook people up, and I think a lot of people agreed with me, is I felt the greatest feeling was to play. The second greatest feeling was to play for others. The third greatest feeling was to play, to do it well, which means preparation, you know, and it was about the process. And the fourth greatest feeling was to win, but that was down the line. It wasn't the most important. So when you really get right to it, and the last thing was like at Kalamazoo. I went and played, I'm 61. And the other day at Kalamazoo, I was playing Ultimate Frisbee, which I used to do 20, 30 years ago because I've been coaching 36 years. And I'm playing Ultimate Frisbee with all these young guys that I used to watch play at Kalamazoo who are now assistant coaches or head coaches at school. And it was joyous. And I could see the texture of this journey, watching these guys play when I was like a young 20-year-old coach. And now playing Ultimate Frisbee and going to dinner with them and sharing the stories and talking about this great, great, powerful, this, it, like I said, it's so powerful, this community and this atmosphere, this environment of college tennis. I hope I didn't say that. I hope I was brief, so I'll let it go to bed.
I have a follow-up question for you about that. It's such a powerful point that I think you're making about why tennis players play. You know, and I think I've often thought that you can't possibly play at this level without really loving the feeling on some, you know, really fundamental basis. But as a coach, what do you do? Because there is so much pressure. I mean, let's talk about the the other thing that is always there, which is, you know, the pressure to win. And so what do you do, and this is really directed at both of you, as coaches, when you see players kind of lose that connection to the love of the, you know, the feeling and the love of that and start to put lots of pressure on themselves, either, you know, to try to win for the team or whatever, and then lose that, you know, when they go through the tough patches where they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves and they're losing that, the connection to the game.
Right. I think that it's like you wrote, Billie Jean King said it so well, as you know, pressure is a privilege. I think what it is all about that the players need to understand, as parents need to understand, as coaches need to understand, is that it's all about this heightened sense of living. That's what competition is all about. And we see pressure. When I go to tournaments and watch players, I can see that they know that the coaches are there or that I'm there, and you can see that there's that fear that comes in. And I really feel that they have to go back to a sense of, first of all, childlike sense of play, whereas you go out and you just play and you just have the joy of play and there's really no pressure. You're 10 years old. So I think that they really need to understand that and dwell into that. And also I think they have to understand the fact that it's a heightened sense of living, and that there's always a tomorrow. And the great thing about this sport is there's always second chances, third chances, fourth chances. That this is a dance, and the music's always going to play. You just got to find your own tune, and you got to find the tune that makes you, you know, flourish and excel and experience that. When I was saying about, you know, this great feeling, if you got to get into the feeling of, and that's the reason I always said it's one, is to play. Is be a participant. Don't be a spectator in life, but be a participant. And I love that. And the thing about college tennis that's so great for all these kids that play junior tennis is, believe me, there's a school for almost everybody. If you play junior tennis, tournament tennis, there is a school. I mean, there's over 1,000 schools that have tennis teams for just boys. There's more than the women's side. So the pressure is something that we all got to understand, and that you're not less of a person. The great thing that I found with the college tennis and most programs is how the kids, even if the coaches are brutal and that they degrade or they demean a player if he loses or there's some sense of subtle punishment, is I found that the players and the peers, they always tend to pick up guys, and they never, you know, if someone loses a critical match, how much they pick them up. And I think that's the thing that really resonates in their life. I was just doing a camp. I flew from Kalamazoo to Walla Walla. I do an adult camp, so I get to play with kids my own age. And, you know, and I was there. And while I was there, the coach is at Whitman College in Walla Walla. And he formerly was an assistant coach of mine. And one of his players was getting married the same weekend I was doing my coaching there. I saw like 40 guys that played Division III tennis. They're rejoicing in their competition and their brotherhood at this Division III school, and it was beautiful to see. And you know what? They all were talking about those great matches that they played at Whitman College, and I was thinking that's the heightened sense of living, because when you compete for a team, those are moments you'll never lose, and they shine in your life. So,
Coach Dixon, what do you have to
answer that question?
Well, I think for us, obviously, kids are under a tremendous amount of pressure, and when they're not having as much success, what they perceive as success, you know, they're focused on the outcome of everything. And as much as possible, we just try to get them to refocus on the process, and like Greg said, of just discovering tennis again, of why they picked up the game when they were little kids, of just having fun. We'll play mini tennis. We'll play some small games on half the court or things like that. We try to set them up for success so they get the feeling of winning points, winning games, but finding just their love of the game as much as possible. I think tennis is an extremely difficult game if you focus on winning, if you focus on the outcome all the time, because ultimately you will be unsuccessful a majority of the time, because it's so difficult to win as you move up higher and higher levels of competition. When you get, if you're a junior player and you're used to winning 4 matches, 5 matches in a week and winning a tournament, that's fantastic. Try doing that in college. Try doing that at the professional level. It just gets harder and harder. You can be very successful, and I think everyone can be successful if you just focus on the process of trying to improve your fundamentals every day, to enjoy yourself out there, and just, you know, just enjoy your journey. Enjoy being with your teammate. That shared suffering together. And to me, that's the fun part of coaching. One of the most fun parts of seeing a child, you know, a young student who's really struggling with something, and getting them to kind of redirect their focus a little bit so that they really do have fun out there. The tennis is a game. I mean, it should be fun. Even if you're not winning, tennis can be an awful lot of fun. It's just a matter of trying to, you know, look at your priorities over the long term. So
I'm a testament to that. I have fun, and I don't win very much.
And that's wonderful. My daughter and son both played some tennis. And for us, I mean, I had a long professional career, and we really wanted to let our kids find what they love to do. I found tennis for me. That didn't necessarily mean that's what they were going to enjoy doing, and they were exposed to it. Our daughter went out, and she had so much fun. She would take a lesson every week. She put a big wad of gum in her mouth, and she had the best time. She just smacked that gum and talked with her coach, and any ball that he made her run for, she, first question she asked him is, how good are you as a coach? He said, I'm pretty good. And she said, can you hit the ball wherever you want to hit it? And he said, yeah. And she said, well, I want you to hit it right back to me, because I don't like to run a whole lot. And so she had fun doing that. Our son was more serious with tennis, and he had fun in the process that he went through. So it has to be fun.
That's great. All right, now I'm going to ask the mamas a question. There's been so much negative press about the state of U.S. tennis, especially on the boys' side. And since the three of us are all moms to tennis-playing boys, I want to ask you guys, Sarah and Melanie, you know, you just came from arguably the most prestigious junior tennis event that goes on in the United States. What's your feeling on the state of U.S. tennis on the boys' side?
Well, let's start off by giving a shout-out to Mackenzie McDonald.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, look what
that's
this
incredible.
Kid did. I
Melanie, and like our listeners who might not follow Facebook and Twitter and know all of us posting about Matthew's achievements.
TJ, why don't you go ahead?
So Mackenzie McDonald was my doubles partner in Kalamazoo. And, I mean, he's been top five in the country in every age group from the 12s to the 18s. Kalamazoo, he did really well. Lost in the quarterfinals to the one seed. Overall, felt like it was a good tournament, but the next week he received a wild card into the Cincinnati ATP Tour event, which is pretty much all the big gun professional players are playing this tournament this week. So he got a wild card in the qualies and plays Nicholas Mahut, the guy who lost to Isner 75-73 or whatever the score was in Wimbledon. He beats him, and then he plays Stevie Johnson, the most decorated college player of all time, who's won 6 championships in 4 years, and beats him as well to qualify for the tournament. And it's absolutely remarkable.
Can I just add, from a parent standpoint, I mean, when I was listening to the two coaches, to Greg and Mark, on their, you know, answer the question about, you know, what do you say to players, you know, when they're going through tough times and losing the connection. Anyway, it, one of the remarks was, you know, you always get a second chance. You know, there's never, you know, there's never one match that is going to make or break your junior tennis career, or I'm sure your college career. And I was just thinking, yeah, you know, it's like life. Life is it's about averages. It's about how you do over the long term. And that's, I think, a hard perspective sometimes to convey to your kids, that, you know, it's never about one time, and because, you know, a lot of times they just naturally bring, you know, that desire to win to a match, and it can kind of kill it. But at any rate, I mean, look at Mackie, then, is this amazing example of exactly that, you know. I mean, he's had a very high average over his 10-year career as a junior, but, you know, you never would have expected that, and you know, you just always have these you know, a little bit of highs and lows, and yeah, you got to just kind of keep going and keep focusing on each individual match and opportunity. And obviously Mackie must have been doing that, have that kind of result.
Yeah, Mark, sort of like you said too, is, and you don't want to focus on outcomes, and really you want to just focus on the process and enjoy that. I mean, I'm sure Mackie wasn't doing anything different out of his normal preparation process that he did between Kalamazoo and Cincinnati. But like you said, Mark, if you just stick with the game plan and stick with what you know, in the long run is going to improve you as a tennis player, then you never really know at what point or which match is going to be, you know, is going to make you. So I think really it's key to just stick with what you know is going to help you improve in the long term, and, you know, sticking to that.
And it's having that mindset, that kind of growth mindset all the time, it takes a tremendous amount of pressure off. It gives parents and students so much more fun. And I think, Greg, I think you probably agree, I think that there are so many results like what McKenzie's had for junior players or college players. Those results are out there. If when the college players, or when the junior players, when they get an opportunity, those results are there. You can upset somebody like that. The tough work comes, can you do it week in and week out? Do you have the game to hold up to it? And that's where somebody like McKenzie, I don't know him. I followed him, you know, for the last few years, but I read his quotes, and it was so interesting. He's talking about the success he's had this week, and he's so excited to go to UCLA, and he wants to get stronger and wants to work on, you know, being with the team and with Billy Martin, who's out there, and just enjoy improving. Somebody like that is going to continue to improve.
So let's talk about then this whole notion that our players have gone soft, and I hear that all the time, and it frustrates me to death to hear that from coaches, from former players. And, you know, I think, TJ, you are a prime example, Mackenzie's a prime example, Noah's a prime example of young players who have stuck with this through the long haul, who have made the sacrifices necessary to get to the top of their game through their junior careers and are now poised to really make some noise at the college level. So, TJ, talk to me about, you know, how you stay focused and why or how you counter somebody who says, oh, these Americans have just gone soft.
Yeah, well, I mean, I couldn't disagree with that anymore, obviously. You know, any athlete that gets to this, that gets to such a high level, just by the way of the number of hours they've put in that have been both good and bad, and sort of, you know, the warrior moments that they've had to get them to the level where at least they're in the spotlight, I think sort of proves that they've put in a certain amount of hard work that merits them some credibility. However, I think also the American tennis players are also judged in, you know, up against players that don't necessarily have the same opportunity to go to college and get a scholarship that most that international players do not have. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the average age on the tour in the top 100 in the world is 28 years old, as opposed to 10 years ago when it was probably, you know, 20 or 21 years old. So I think, especially since the game's becoming so much more physical and about, you know, physical development, movement, getting stronger, you know, it takes more time, and that critics need to give, especially American tennis players, since they have the option of, you know, playing 4 years of collegiate tennis at an incredibly high level, need to give them a little bit more leeway and more time to really develop their game, since players aren't hitting their peaks until later on.
I think TJ's right on, and that's very, very mature assessment of this whole thing. And we always go through the years where all of a sudden American tennis gets bashed, like they say, where are our next American players? And they're always there. They're always going to be there, and they're always going to make a great impact on the international sport. And to be honest with you, back in the, you know, 20, 30 years ago, American tennis did its job because it became an international sport. And now you look at it, and there's, I mean, tennis is flourishing all over the world. We're the second most popular sport in the world next to soccer and around the globe. And the thing that's going to, I think about this so strongly, is when I first started working for the Junior Davis Cup program in 1983, there was an article that everybody was lamenting about the lack of depth in American tennis. Well, at that time, when I was traveling around, the kids on the team was Chang, Courier, Sampras, the Jensen brothers. There's, you know, the guys that didn't even make the team but that were still a part of it were like guys like Steve Bryan, which was top 50 in the world, and, you know, Jared Palmer, who was number one in the world in doubles. And so, and then, so then all these guys came, and they just, I mean, obviously they made history. And now I think the same thing's going to happen, because I think what I see is, I think the athleticism of the American kids, the juniors, is phenomenal. And I think it's, I think the teaching and the coaching around the country is great. And I'm really excited about it. And it comes in waves. And after the demise of when Pete and Courier and Chang and Agassi, when they started to retire, people were saying the same thing, that there was a lack of tennis and that the American tennis had gone soft. But, you know, you really, there's a great resurgence in the sense of Roddick, Ginepri, Marty Fish, the Bryan brothers, James Blake, and then they came on. And so I think there's going to be a new resurgence. I think what's going to happen, though, is a lot of the great players, or a lot of the kids what TJ's talking about, I think they're going to, those kids are going to go to college, and they're going to use that as a training forum, foundation, so that they can really work on their games and go. And Stevie Johnson's a great example of this. I mean, of a guy that went 4 years of college, and I think, you know, he's in the top 100 in the world right now, a great accomplishment, and I think he's just going to get better. And what's happening is McKenzie, and I was thrilled to hear what happened to McKenzie, because I think the world of him is, you know, to see him take that next step. And the great thing about McKenzie is this, and I remember when I was working the Junior Davis Cup team, and I was traveling around with those guys when I was 16, 17 years old, and Chang went to the French Open and won it. And all of a sudden, I'm with Courier when he's 17 years old, and I was with Pete, and they looked and go, well, heck, if Michael can do it, we can do it. And see, that's the great thing that's happening. College players are seeing, well, Stevie Johnson could do this, we can do it. It doesn't diminish their accomplishments, because there's such great respect for their peers. But they're saying, hey, wait a second, I've played, I've practiced, I can do this. And I think that's the great thing about what McKenzie just did, is, hey, we're going to get good. The coaching's getting better, but the kids are better. And I love the way the kids interact at Kalamazoo. I think they're starting to get together again. And if the kids get together and they go have fun and they go eat and they hang out with each other and they play other games, and they basically support each other, American tennis is going to dominate.
You know, let me also bring this back to Kalamazoo for just a second. Not during my interview with Mark Riley, the tournament director, but during one of the conversations I had with him, he let me know that one of his goals for this tournament, and everybody talks about how professional it's run, how well everybody is treated, every kid in that tournament feels like they're a pro. Well, part of the reason for that is to give those kids a stage to play on so that they can feel that, so they could feel that importance. And look, there's a lot of pressure on so many of these kids, and especially with the U.S. Open wild card at stake. But one of the things is a lot of the kids don't have an opportunity to play on such a big stage until they would get to Kalamazoo, and then they would feel that, so that maybe the next time, who knows, maybe Mackie went on to play this tournament a little easier because he played on a big stage, such a big stage the week before, because he was treated like such a professional the week before. And, you know, a shout-out definitely to tournament director Mark Riley and all the folks at Kalamazoo. Over, I think they said over 700 volunteers to make that week, so longer than a week, so very special. And they really do just a superb job.
I would just add, like to add about the question of, you know, the American players, and that I think we're also at a unique point in time historically where there's just so rising, you know, with globalization and so forth, other countries rising wealth and ability to support tennis and have it be a gateway for their kids to you know, have success and potentially get an education as well in our country that has the best educational system in the world. And so it's become, excuse me, perhaps one theory is less about how the relative decline of U.S. tennis, but more about the rising relative, you know, strength of other countries. It's just getting more competitive out there in every aspect, every industry, every sport. And, you know, the other countries, you know, those kids, they're going after it. And so, and I think it's all going to be very positive for American players, too, because they're experiencing it, they're smart, they're getting it, they see this as a global sport, the college tennis is global now. I mean, so many international players on the teams, which was kind of a rub for me, you know, early on when I realized, oh, my God, you know, I've been, like, supporting my American, you know, tennis player all these years, and the spots are going to all these international players. But, you know, I kind of got with the program about this is just the way it is right now with the level of competition, and it can be a positive thing for the sport and just a recognition of where America in general is that we're out there competing with, you know, We're not top dog anymore, you know. There are a lot of good other, you know, countries out there supporting tennis. So I would just rally, you know, tennis parents to be positive and try and support our you know, USTA and what they're doing. And you know, that's kind of my viewpoint.
I want to just quickly interject. We're down to about our last minute and a half of live airtime. We will go into podcast mode at the end of that. But one of the things that TJ pointed out is the rising age of successful players on the professional tour. And I want to just ask Greg and Mark, what does that do to you as a college coach in terms of the pressure of preparing these young players for a potential professional career? Does it put more pressure on you to really help them continue developing because you know that they're going to be able to make their mark at a later age?
Personally, I think it's easier because I think recruiting-wise, you have players who have aspirations to play professional tennis, and you show them the statistics. They see how hard they need to work, and they come in with that mindset that they're going to spend the next few years, and this is just part of their development process. To me, that makes it a lot more easy. There's, there are so many videos that are available on YouTube, and you can see how a lot of the different pros train. And yeah, I think it's wonderful for these young men and young women who have those aspirations to come into a college program, to have, you know, the majority of their education paid for, to be able to have coaching, travel. Like TJ said and like Greg said, to be on a team, I mean, for most of these kids, they talk about wanting to turn professional. College tennis is going to be so much more fun than professional tennis for a lot of these kids. So it's wonderful to have that opportunity to work with them through these years.
Mark's absolutely right. It's college tennis can be whatever the kids want it to be for them. And I see that. I have some players that they just want. My associate coach is Luke Shields. Him and his brother were two of the top juniors in the nation when they were coming up. But they were both, working class heroes. Their family lived in Grand Junction. Their dad drove everywhere in an RV. Luke wanted desperately to be on a team. He didn't want to go professional. Clancy at one time was the number one player in the world in the juniors when he was 14. The reason being primarily he was just a great kid and loved to play, but he was basically physically more mature than most of his peers at the time. And so the USGA, several people felt in the USGA that, well, these guys should both go professional, and which was kind of a mistake. And Luke didn't want to do that. Luke wanted to play on a college team. He wanted to be a part of something that was bigger than himself. So what I find is with my players, and I find this with every school, is you're going to find some guys that they just want the dream about tennis is to be on a college team, to be on a team, to belong to something. And not to be an individual out there, which is me against the world, but to be us, to play as for something that's bigger than themselves. Then you have the guys that also, and I have several guys that want to go professional. I've had guys go professional. One of our alumni won Wimbledon. He's won two slams, and that was Wesley Moody in doubles. And so you also have those guys with those dreams, and it's so exciting to be a part of that and to realize that we have 4 years to hone those things and to make the dream come real. So for me, I look at whatever, and we talk with each and every one of our guys, and I know a lot of my colleagues do this, is what are their dreams, and how do we make those dreams, how do we help them realize their dreams and make it a reality? And just being, hey, to contribute to the team or to go on to the next level. And I think that's the beauty of coaching, is you become a dream weaver, and you really become a fabric of your players' lives.
Well, that's a fantastic sentiment, and I am going to let us end on that note from Coach Patton. I want to thank all of you guys for taking time out to be with us today. Sarah Weinheimer, your fabulous son, TJ Pura. TJ, I look forward to seeing you play and watching your development as you go through Duke. Melanie Rubin, thank you again so much for all of your hard work last week in Kalamazoo, and man, are we going to have fun up in New York. And Coach Greg Patton and Coach Mark Dixon, thank you so much. I am just excited to see where your teams are headed this year and wish you all the best as we head into a new year of tennis, a new academic year. And I hope for all of my listeners that you learned something new today and that you enjoyed following Kalamazoo through Melanie's eyes and through the eyes of the players, parents, coaches, and volunteers that she had the opportunity to interview. For those of you really following U.S. Tennis, I encourage you to join the new Facebook page called U.S. Tennis, and I urge you to check it out. They're doing a great job at reporting results at the junior level, collegiate level, futures, challengers, and at the tour level of our American players. So check that out and see what our guys and girls are up to out there. Thank you all. I look forward to next week's show. Have a great week, everybody, and see you at ParentingAces.com.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa and Melanie.